things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's all bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we believe, Lord, with all our heart that all things are possible because you're here. And believing, Father, that as the children of Israel went on into the promised land, even though Moses went off the scene, yet they were still led by your pillar of fire. And so, Father, we pray, believing that we're still following the pillar of fire tonight. We believe, Father, your presence is here, your holiness is here. And so, Father, we ask you to help us, O God, to reflect that holiness in our life. Help us, Lord, as we study further the Christ as a mystery of God revealed. And we pray that you'd help us, Lord, to better understand our place, getting us ready, Lord, for the going home. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. This evening we're going to continue with the threefold purpose of Christ, number 6. And I'd like to entitle this Glorified in His Saints. We're going to pick up at paragraph 86 where Brother Branham said, Therefore, if any Trinitarian here would just let yourself loose a minute, you can see that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is not three gods. It's three attributes of the same God. See, it's expressions. Father, he wanted to be a father. He was a father, and he was a son, and he is the Holy Ghost. And the Father and the Holy Ghost is the same Spirit. Notice he didn't say the Father and Jesus, the Son, are the same. Well, it is the same Spirit, but but you have two different beings there. But anyway, he says, don't you see? You get it? Not three gods. The devil told you them things because to make you an idolater out of you. See, it's one God expressed in three attributes, to be Father, to be Savior, to be Son, to be Healer, see, in his expression. I want to coach just a little bit so that the people listening to the tape will get the idea that can see. It would take me around and around that clock, just each one of those subjects, but I hope I'm making it clear enough that you can see what I'm coming to. See, God expressed in Jesus Christ, who was both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now the complete fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church, the preeminences. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ was, he poured into the church, the believer, not denomination. We'll get to that in just a few minutes and take it out of your minds forever. See, show you what causes that by the help of God, if he'll just permit us to do it. What's his purpose now? Express himself as a son. See, and now that in him might dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. I've got Colossians laying here right before me, see, that and all through the scripture, that's what God purposed was. Then it through this life of his son, his cross, the blood, it says here, of his cross, that he might reconcile to himself a body, a bride. Notice that he's talking about it was through the life that was in that son, that's how he reconciles us. He says, and God give it a type like he did with Moses and them, the same thing that he did Adam and Eve, giving a type, that they were Christ and the bride. He is the second Adam. The church is the second Adam, or Eve. And as long as second Eve compromises against the word, isn't she doing the same thing that the first Eve did? Trying to say, well, it was for some other age. And we'll get to that in a few minutes, whether he said that was for another age and how can it be for another age when he is the same yesterday, today, and forever? But God has promised that and hid it from the eyes of the wise and prudent and revealed it to the predestinated babes who were predestinated to receive it. Now, what he's talking about here is he had just said a few paragraphs earlier that he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And Brother Branham said, how can it be for another age if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? You see, people don't understand that if God makes a promise, God's obligated to the promise. All right? Notice Brother Branham said here that through this life of this son, that he might reconcile to himself a body, a bride. Now, up to this point, he's been talking in terms of God receiving the preeminence in his bride. In other words, she can come to the place where she is so dead to herself that it is no longer she, but he that is manifesting life through her body. Notice, We had read earlier where Brother Branham said, now, that's when he can express the preeminence. As you see, he's got the man or the person so that he knows nothing but Christ. You get what I mean? All right. Amen. Now, secondly, first, to express himself completely, God in Christ. Secondly, to have the preeminence by this in his church, which is his body, his bride. To have the preeminence is to express himself through them. So it's not just that God has a preeminence in you so that you can say, oh, you know, like the Muslims do, there's only one God but Allah. You know, there's only one God but Elohim. Well, hey, so what? The whole world, look, the world is basically split into divisions, okay? You've got Trinitarians, you've got oneness. Now, the Jews are oneness, the Muslims are oneness. They got a different God than we've got, but then you got the oneness Pentecostals are oneness. You see? And the devil's really oneness. Although he put off a Trinitarian to kind of get the people messed up. It's just like politics. They say one thing and do another. You see? So we're looking at So Brother Branham's not talking about so that we all might come together and have the same doctrine. He says that he might express himself through you. That's what the second fold purpose is, that he might express himself through you. He says, secondly, to have the preeminence in his body of believers, that is his bride, that he might live in people. And in paragraph 82, he said, and the other night, if you didn't get the tape that I preached here on one night on Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, when God gets you to be his prisoner, then you can't do nothing but what he says do. Now, I believe that God is only coming for a bride who's reflecting him. He's not coming for people that have their own way about it. And because, you know why? That's adultery. That's spiritual adultery. I was going to get into that tonight and show you, but we're going to wait till Sunday. But when people say that, when Brother Branham makes a statement, it's right along with the Bible, and people said, ah, phooey, that's spiritual adultery. It's spiritual adultery. Now, paragraph 71, Brother Branham said, he should be the principal theme of our talking, of our thinking, of our singing, of our walks. He should be the principal theme of our life. If he's the principal theme of the Bible, and the Bible is in us, then he should be the principal theme of everything that we do, say, or think should be Christ. Is that right? All right. Now, I'm just going to tie this in with this, because what he's talking about is he's saying that, look, he could have the preeminence to express himself through them. God wants to express himself through his children. And from the spoken words original seed, paragraph 96, Brother Branham said, when God and his word becomes one, hallelujah, that's when God's spirit waters the seed of God and the word of God, and it produces God. What do you think you saw in William Branham? That was God. Why? Because he got himself out of the way. He died to himself. You say, well, yeah, but he's a prophet. He can do that. No, listen, he was a Kentucky hillbilly. He was three-quarter Irish and one-fourth Indian, American Indian, Cherokee. No different than you and I are. Ordained to an office, yes. But this is the hour of 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10 when he comes to be glorified in his saints. And that word glorified is en doxazo. And the doxa, of course, it's in doxazo. And in it means in you. Doxa is his opinions, his values, his judgment. And the word zo or azo means to be manifested or magnified. Well, if God's if God's values are not magnified in you, forget it. Forget it. The Muslims have more holiness than the message people do. I mean, my goodness, you can't even see the women's face. If Helena was here, I'd have her do it. She does a good job. Anyway, this is the hour he's come to express his opinion. They don't have his opinion. They might try to dress holy, but they don't have his opinion. It's his opinion, his values, and his judgments. And it's supposed to be magnified in your body. You see? That's why Brother Branham said he should be the principal theme of our talking. Not who's going to win the ball game. Not who's going to win NASCAR. Not who's going to win this or that. Jesus Christ should be the principal theme of our talking, of our thinking. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I acted like a child, because I thought as a child. But when I become an adult, I put away childish thinking. And Brother Branham said, you have no think coming. That's what he said. He didn't say you have no thought coming. He said, you have no think coming. Why? He said, in this hour, he said, it's predicted by the scripture that the whole world will be insane except for the elect because she'll have the mind of Christ. And if you don't have the mind of Christ, you're insane. You're absolutely insane. You know, we say the stupid government this and government that. Listen, who put him in there? The people did. It's the people that are going to be held accountable. Yeah. He should be the principal theme of our talking, of our thinking, of our singing, of our walks. He should be the principal theme of our life. If he's the principal theme of the Bible and the Bible is in us, then he should be the principal theme of everything that we do and say or think should be Christ. Is that right? All right. Now from Brother Bram's sermon, The Spoken Word's Original Seed, paragraph 96, he continues, when God and His Word becomes one, hallelujah, that's when God's Spirit waters the seed of God, the Word of God, it produces God, and it's not the individual, it's God. For you are dead. You're not yourself no more. You reckon yourself dead, hollowed out, waiting for the seed germ. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 11 to 12, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. And if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, of course, He also will deny us. So suffering and death are essential components of God molding and shaping us into the very image of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Brown continues in the paragraph, then, what is it? It isn't you no more. It isn't the man, it's God in the man. It's the seed germ, like at the beginning, the spoken word. God's word made manifest in the man, then it isn't the man, it's the man that's died. Why do you think William Branham could, could speak and those squirrels come? Brother Branham didn't create squirrels, God created those squirrels. But Brother Branham said, look, it's when you are dead to yourself, and you are only saying what God tells you to say. God said, what do you want them? Right there. Boof, there they are. Who did it? God did it. Who's the creator? God's the creator. But He does it through a man. He did it through a man. Did it through Moses. Did it through Jesus. Did it through William Branham. And He does it through you. And I hate to sound like I'm preaching some thing foreign to your understanding, but let me tell you something. If you're a son of God, and God's no respecter of persons, you can expect the very same thing in your life as well. And Brother Branham said, when the squeeze comes down, finally you're going to get desperate enough to where you're going to understand that you already know what the third pole's about, he said. It's already been manifest to you. You're going to use it. Oh, me? Yes, you. Yeah, that's who it's for. Brother Branham said, if you realize that you, if you have the Holy Ghost, you have enough power within you to create a world and go live on it. You do. And Jesus said, ask anything in my name and it'll be done. You ask. So you see, this preeminence in the bride is when she comes to the place where she reconciles herself to be dead, dead, dead to herself, to her desires. But she's alive to the will of God and that alone. Now, picking up at paragraph 89 of Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, Brother Brown says, that's the reason I watch down through the age, whenever this light hits some, they turn it away and flashed it away. And great intellectuals and them great priests standing there. And there was rabbis from and great teachers in authority, like different ones, like Nicodemus and them, men polished in scholarship. And he couldn't even understand. He couldn't understand it. And there was those great priests stood out there and rabbis who were taught in that word. My, and they knew it intellectually. And he said, you are of your father, the devil, and his works you'll do. Think of it. Holy men. You couldn't put your finger nowhere on their life. Or their father's life, or their grandfather's life, or their great, 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 great grandfather's life. And if they did, they died in shame. They stoned to death. But here stands Jesus calling that group a bunch of devils and religious people. Now, paragraph 90. Now, on that great revelation now. Now, to restore back his kinship. Not kingship, but kinship. To bring back. Now, he had to let them get lost. You understand it? He had to let them sin. Put them on free moral agency. He could not make them sin and remain God and then punish them for something that he made them do. But when he put man on partnership with him, now listen to this. When he put man on partnership with him, then let man act as a free moral agent. See? The same thing that he's got you on today. See? You act any way you want to, you're a free moral agent. So therefore, if he put the first like that, he has to put the second like that, he has to put everyone like that, or he acted wrong in the first place, see? But everybody's is on the same basis. Now listen, there's a big, big difference in what he just said here. He said everyone has been given a free moral agency all the way from Adam all the way through, and they blew it. Then why is the bride in the end time ordained not to blow it? I'll tell you why. Because the bride at the end time is ordained to be glorified. Endox azo. She is predestined to have the mind of Christ. She is predestined to have His Spirit. And not only His Spirit, but the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The very mind of Christ. Now that she's got free moral agency and she has His mind, she'll do anything she wants to do, but all she wants to do is what He wants to do. Because she has His mind to do it. You understand the difference? You've got free moral agency, but like Brother Branham said, all I want to do is please Him. Enoch said, all I want to do is please Him. And he went up and he was no more. Well, he is someplace. He's just no more down here. You see? Now, what is Brother Branham saying here? He's saying that if God left you to yourself after giving you free moral agency, you would most certainly die like they did from Adam all the way through. But because there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Proverbs 16:25. And we all know that man will always choose the way that seems right to himself, unless he's insane. But notice that Brother Branham said, God put you on partnership with Him. Partnership with Him. Wow. But when He put a man on partnership with Him, then let that man act as a free moral agent. You see what he's saying here? Now this means that God baptizes him with the Holy Ghost. He gives him part of His own Spirit, His own mind. Because when speaking of our being partners or partakers of the Holy Ghost, as we see in Hebrews 6:4, it says, for it is impossible for those who were once for all enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And the Greek word for partaker is metekos, which means associates, companions, or partners. We've been made partners of the Holy Ghost, associates, companions of the Holy Ghost. So that means that He has given you companionship, which is the Holy Ghost. And once you are partnered with God by receiving the God life, which is the holy life, which is the Holy Ghost life, then He can put you on free moral agency. And you're going to make the right choice because you have the mind of Christ. Because it's God in you doing what? He's working to do what? Anybody? God in you working to... To will and to do His good pleasure. God in you working to His will. God in you working to do. It's not your acts. It's not your what can I do for God. It's what God's doing through you. Yeah, that's why people don't understand John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall you do also. They say, well, that's just William Branham. Hogwash. William Branham himself said it's not me. He said it's not just me. He says not just one person. It's a whole group. It's a whole group. Every single language, it says... It doesn't say he that believes. It says whosoever believes. There's hundreds of scriptures, hundreds of quotes. My goodness, brother, sister, when are we ever going to become seed? When are we ever going to be manifested sons of God? When are we ever going to manifest that we are sons of God? When are we going to believe it ourselves what we are? Huh? Oh, we go to church, we pay our tithes, fine. So are the Baptists. So do some Catholics. I know in the church I went to, they paid 5%. That's not what it's all about. It's not coming to church. It's not paying your tithes, not being a good citizen. It's being God. What? It's being God in you. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Hallelujah. Oh my. God, just take over my body. Please. Hebrews 12 and 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers, associates, companions, and partners of his holiness. Hebrews 3 and 14. For we are made partakers, associates, companions, partners of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 3 and 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers, associates, companions, partners of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. We see another Greek word, koinonos, which also means the same thing in the following scripture, 2 Peter 1 and 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers, associates, companions, partners in the divine nature. Oh, me? Yeah. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. He's talking to you. God's seed. Amen. 1 Peter 5 and 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker, as associate, companion, partner, of the glory that shall be revealed. 1 Peter 4:13. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers, associates, companions, partners of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. When his glory shall be revealed. Doesn't the scripture say revealed in where? It revealed in you. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers, associates, companions, or partners of the suffering, so shall you also be of the consolation. What's the consolation prize with God? Joint heirs. Huh? Kings and priests? In other words, God tried free moral agency with Eve and she failed. He tried free moral agency with the Jews and they failed. He tried free moral agency down through the church ages and they failed. But now he has at the end time came down in the form of the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, of himself. And he has given you the same spirit that he gave his son, that you might receive the very same mind that was in Christ. And thus you now think as God thinks. Then in this condition, under a free moral agency, you can do whatever you want to do. But all you want to do is please your Father, because this is the hour that he ordained before the foundations of the world to be glorified in his saints. In 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified, endoxazo, in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray also always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified, endoxazod, in you and you in him, according to the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's come to be glorified in his saints. His doxa, his opinion, his judgments, his values, his word, his thoughts. Where? In the saints. In closing, Brother Branham said from Israel at the Red Sea, he said, God has already glorified his church. Those who he justified, he also glorified in the church, in Christ. If you're justified in Christ, you're glorified in Christ already. As far as God is concerned, Jesus said, be you therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And how could you ever be perfect? But in the sight of Christ tonight, every born-again Christian is perfect. I'm just as perfect in God as Christ was. As Christ was. And you are too. Every other believer. For it's not my holiness, it's his holiness. God cannot accept mine, I have none. But I come in Christ by faith, and by Christ I'm in him, and perfect in the sight of God. And as Brother Branham said, if he is the head, Christ is the head, and you are the body, when God looked down upon that cross and he saw the head, which is his son, Brother Branham said, you died in him. And when God looks down when God looks at you, he sees the face of Jesus Christ. He sees, oh, hallelujah. Then you've already paid your sacrifice. You've already paid the price, brother, sister. Now it's time to let go and let God and let him have your body as Jesus let him have his. And let him magnify himself through you. That's why Paul again speaks of this condition of holiness that we shall possess at the parousia of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 3:13, he says, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. That's in his very presence. Then he says, even our Father. And what identification? And when does Paul tell us this will happen? At the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. What is it? To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness in the presence of God at his parousia. God bless you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for again helping us, Lord, to get a little glimmer of the life that you expect from your children, not out of a legal attitude, but, Father, out of a desire to please you as your Father. And, Lord, knowing that the spirit of adoption cries out, Abba, Father, and we know that when we're born again, we're put on that path towards adoption, which Paul calls the spirit of adoption, and we know that when we get our body changed, that's when we're adopted. But somewhere between the new birth and that change of the body, we all stand tonight. And Lord, we know that there's just a simple maturity that you're expecting out of your bride, your children. Because you cannot adopt your child until he has the mind of the Father. We know that. And so, Lord, we pray that the mind that was in Christ would be in us. And we ask this humbly in Jesus Christ's name. For your Son, Jesus, said, when he said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And even greater works than he shall do, for I go to my Father, and whatsoever you ask in my name to the Father, I will do it. And so, Father, it's not a matter of what we can do. It's a matter of what you can do. And we are all things in Christ, and knowing that, as your prophet said, there's enough power, there's enough eternal life in us to actually create worlds and go live on them. So, Father, we just ask that you'd help us just simply to learn how to die to ourselves as your Son Jesus died to himself. Because we know when he was in Gethsemane, he wrestled so much with his calling. He said, Father, my will is that you take this cup from me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And Brother Branham said he tried to dodge the cross. That was the man. And yet something within him said, but Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And Brother Branham said that was the greatest victory he had, was at Gethsemane. So, Father, if we're approaching our Gethsemane tonight, we just pray that you'd help us to have the same mind that was in Christ. And you said if we be any otherwise minded, you'd reveal it to us. So help us, Father, to yield ourselves. Help us to die to self, that Christ might live in us. For we know that Christ Jesus died that we might live. Now, Father, we know that you want us to die individually that Christ might live again in each of your children. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.